And we're talking a lot of gloomy stuff, but Brad Olson, in his new book, Future Esoteric, does paint a somewhat optimistic picture at the end, and we'll be getting into that in just a moment here as we continue on Coast to Coast AM. Brad Olson, people like you and I have been banging away at the UFO topic, this strange mystery and all of its different ramifications for a long time. Some people have been at it much longer than us, and it seems like we don't get much closer to the real central questions. If there are visitors, who they are, why they're here, what their interest is in us, what their ultimate long-term goals are. Can you shed any light on that? Do you think it's one group or it's more than one group, and why they're here? Because it sounded like you thought at least some of them are not here in our best interests.
Great question. Of course, there are many, many different agendas, for good, for better or for worse. I think Carrie Cassidy from Camelot really narrowed it down to look at it two ways. There's either service to self or service to others. Those that are service to self are like the Greys, or the Draco reptilians, that have been here for quite a while, that view us very contemptuously, that have a world control agenda, and are doing a lot of really bad things to the human race. They like to keep us in a state of fear. They like to keep us warring with each other. They like to keep us divided. As soon as we start coming together, and as soon as we start moving towards unity consciousness, it's game over for them. As soon as we start having a national discussion, an international discussion about who these entities are and what they're up to and what they're trying to do, they're going to have to leave, because it is our planet. And there are benevolent ETs, and they are in the service to others, and they are here to help. But just like the movie and the TV show Star Trek, there is such a thing as a prime directive, and they cannot and do not want to directly interfere with Earth and our politics and our progression. They will shut off nuclear warheads, and there's videos of it, quite a few testimony of military people who are working on a base and their nuclear warheads get deactivated. They run outside and they see a UFO. There's even videos of a shot going off. I think it was from Vandenberg base here, and there's a video on it, and the nuclear warheads up in the air. It's just a test, of course, but a UFO comes with a beam of light, zaps it a few times, and then just renders it inoperationable. So you see that there are some that are benevolent and some that are malevolent. It's the ones who are malevolent that we need to become aware of, and their abilities to manipulate humans goes beyond this very limited third dimensional reality that we know and perceive. There's a lot more to it. And science has already told us we're living in a multiverse of at least 11 dimensions, maybe up to 13 or higher. What's going on in all these dimensions? What's going on in the fourth dimension? That might be one where possibly things like the Archons exist, which are these amoeba-like entities just out of our range of perception that can possibly influence our thought patterns, like become a voice in our head, but they're of a malevolent nature. They too have an agenda, and they feed off of our fear. So we need to know what these are. And I was just listening to some information on it, that if you get a camera that can shoot infrared, you can actually pick these things up. So we now are close to having the technology to start seeing the fourth dimension. And if we can start educating ourselves that these things are out there, or even the malevolent ETs, if they're acting in a fourth dimensional way, it's said that they can shadow people and, again, get into people's heads. If we can out them, we can suddenly see a great shift for the better for the human race. And that's what I'm partly hoping to do with Future Esoteric, is just to highlight these issues, that these are esoteric issues. And to me, this is a better way of saying conspiracy theory, because it's such a loaded term. But these are esoteric issues. And the reason I chose the word future is because we are projecting into the future. We are looking at a better age when we have these technologies, when we have such things as a united human race. And that's where we're going in the utopia section, and a much positive, much more positive outlook.
Same sort of a question about the ruling cabal. Is it just one group? I would think that somewhere there's got to be a rich guy with a heart who doesn't go along with the agenda who would be more open about this.
You know, a lot of people are really disappointed with Obama. And my feeling is he's a good guy, but I think he's been manipulated. And I think he's been given his marching orders from these higher people. Maybe they do have a heart, but what's the old saying that power corrupts?
Absolutely. Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. Yeah,
that's it. And when you get into these upper echelons where you are one of the very few who has a say in how things go on this planet, it must be very intoxicating. But your question is very potent. Where are the people with a heart? Don't they care? Do some people care? Or then you get people like Bill Gates where it looks like, okay, I'm going to eradicate polio. But then he makes these slips that the plan is to eliminate 10 or 15% of the population with vaccines. So who knows? You know, are you doing things for the good, or are you doing things for eugenics? So it's kind of confusing, and who knows? Maybe these people are being influenced. One thing I point out in the book early on, in the Secrets No More section, is you got to look at how every part of human society is based on hierarchies. Everything from government to religion to politics to business, you've got one or several people at the top, and they dictate down to all the hierarchy below. So it's really easy to, if you can, influence these top people, and then the policy trickles down to everybody else. And that's part of the problem with the way the world is structured right now. It's far too much of a hierarchy. So if we can hack that hierarchy, and I think the internet does a wonderful job of leveling the playing field, where instead of it's one broadcaster to many, now we have many broadcasters to many, that we're all being empowered in our own way to be a blogger, to get on Facebook and speak your mind. You know, we didn't have this power when we were little kids. It was all just you turn on the radio or the TV, and that's how you get your news. Now, the millennial generation, one-third of them don't even own a television. And poll after poll is showing that more people are getting their information from their friends and loved ones than they do from the traditional media sources. So that is a huge shift right now in how people are perceiving this world.
Well, whether ETs are running things or whether a single cabal runs things, you can look around and see, as you do in the book, about good ideas that get suppressed. We look at the power of big pharma, which I've talked about a few times on the show, suppressing promising drugs and treatments, herbal cures, things of that sort, natural cures that get buried. I talked earlier in this program about the power of Monsanto. So powerful that it can get itself written into the budget bill to be exempt from any kind of future legal scrutiny. And it's depressing. And then you add on to that you do believe that stuff goes on, right?
Do I believe it?
Yeah.
It's obvious. It's quite apparent. I saw a bumper sticker. If you're not outraged, you're not paying attention. These are outrageous actions that are being taken. And it's getting passed. Like you said, it got passed, so we can't even prosecute Monsanto for their crimes. I heard the bankers did the same thing, that they put a new law in that, we can't be prosecuted if you catch us doing crimes. I mean, look at the audacity of these people. They're just saying, we're going to do whatever we want, and you can't do anything about it. So, again, we need to pull the rug from out underneath these people, and my best way of doing it is the end of money. And this may seem like a pretty fantastic notion to your listeners, but if you think about it, what do we really need money for anyways? Just to get the things we need in life. And with so much unemployment in the world today, people don't know what to do with themselves. We only really need shelter and food and clean water and good pharmaceutical products, if there is such a thing. I mean, you could even make a argument that there are no good pharmaceutical products, that we should go back to all holistic type of things, ways of treating ourselves. But if we could get rid of money, then these power brokers, this cabal, is suddenly powerless. And how empowered would the human race be then?
We'll come back to sort of the optimistic view of these things in a moment. I want to touch on one other thing, and then we'll be opening up the phone lines in the last half hour of the program about another suppressed technology. And it's a theme that runs all the way through Future Esoteric, basically flying saucer technology. You think that we somehow obtained this stuff, and maybe the Nazis were working on their own version, but somehow we obtained this stuff. It's been kept secret. At places like Area 51 and other secret bases around the world, but that a lot of our future lies in this technology. If it could be unsuppressed, that it would be a different world.
Well, unfortunately, this cabal we've been speaking of are also pretty heavy-handed players in the aerospace industry, which now retains most of the technology that has been gleaned through decades of backward engineering, at least from the time of Roswell. But every down craft that is acquired, and it's basically what it is, it's a program of acquisition, goes to laboratories, either Los Alamos in New Mexico or Area 51. And of course, your friend Bob Lazar has been an incredible influence on me and some of the videos that are still on the internet about him speaking about how they've been backward engineering this stuff. It's incredibly revealing, and the truth is out there. It may take some discernment to separate the wheat from the chaff, so to speak. But the bigger picture is we're already in the acquisition of this high technology, and we have created working prototypes. And you said earlier in the setup piece for the next segment about Ben Rich and the Skunk Works. Yeah, some of these aerospace CEOs on their deathbed realize that I know this incredible secret and I see where it's going, and leaving it in the power of the cabal to make the best decision, it may not be the very good decision. And a lot of these people have second thoughts, just like Ben Rich, and says, anything you can imagine, we already have. This is coming from one of the top CEOs of Lockheed Martin Skunk Works. Now, for a person like this to be making these kind of statements, and he is not the only one to say that we have this advanced technology, we are already working on these crafts that can basically go to outer space within minutes. I mean, why do you think that there's nothing after the space shuttle? It's just ridiculous that the most powerful nation on the planet should just, oh, we're giving up on that. Yeah, space. We don't have the money for it. Now, we got money to blow up Iraq, but we can't finance that. It's just ludicrous.
I had a
And
chance
I think
to
people need to
interview.
know that.
I had a chance to interview Ben Rich on the day that the world first learned about the F 117, the stealth fighter. It was unveiled, a formal unveiling at Nellis Air Force Base, and out on the tarmac in front of the plane, I got to ask him about it. I said, "Mr. Rich, you know, there are stories that maybe some of this technology came from beyond, from somebody else." And he stopped for a second and he kind of chuckled to himself, got a wry smile on his face, paused, and then said, No, this is just good old American technology, American know-how." And then, of course, he said something completely different on his deathbed, which you recount in this book. I didn't realize. I know I had seen the quote before about we already have the power to go to the stars. What I did not remember seeing is that he said it's so suppressed, it's so far down in the black world that we will never see it. And that's disconcerting, to say the least.
Yeah, to say the least. And a lot of other of the Nazi rocket scientists that came here alluded to the same thing. People asked them, where did you get this high technology? And who is it, Oberich said we were helped from our friends from the stars. And of course, Wernher von Braun, he was obsessed with the whole Star Wars and weaponization of space, and told Carol Rosen that the final ruse would be an attack from aliens. And, you know, look at the way that Hollywood seeds us with this notion that if E.T. is going to visit us, the first thing they're going to do is blow up our cities and try to take us by force. And what kind of notion is that we have to fear the E.T. Presence? Of course, it's good to be knowledgeable of these certain kind of E.T.s that we were speaking of before, and millions of people have claimed to have been abducted, and most of those weren't very pleasant experiences, and I know I certainly wouldn't want to be probed in the way that they speak of. But the notion of an all-out War of the Worlds kind of attack, I mean, this is what the Brookings Institute used to justify not coming clean with this whole issue way back in the 1950s. They said, well, Orson Welles, you know, he did that radio show, War of the Worlds, and people panicked, and people jumped out of their apartment buildings and were running in the street mad. We can't come public with this. This would just drive people crazy. And for some reason, people in these high levels of government and the black ops said, oh, yeah, maybe he's right. And, you know, I referenced Coast to Coast in Future Esoteric in one instance. Back in Art Bell's day, when John Lear was on the show, he did the famous thing called take the John Lear test. And that is, if you were one of these, say, top aeroscience people, and you're privy to these kind of secrets that we were backward engineering, and you had a little briefing from the CIA, and they said, well, sir, if you were to come clean with this information, you know, it might start a panic. And that's what the Brookings Institute came out with their report in the 1950s. Would you do it? And Art Bell famously said, taking the John Lear test, I wouldn't do it. So there you go. I mean, if you look at the big picture of what the ramifications are, it is an enormous decision to make. And this is probably why the presidents just don't want to go there. If they were to make disclosure, their whole administration would be bogged down for months due to this. All the questions people would ask, well, why did you keep it quiet for so long? Well, what exactly do we have? What else aren't you telling us? You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, and it's something I've thought about a lot. And I've also faced the John Lear test and wondered, it really boils down to what you'd be disclosing. Yeah, we don't exactly know what the ultimate disclosure would be, what the ultimate reason for these visitors being here is. And it might be something that really would cause disruption. I tend to believe it. I'm a First Amendment guy. I believe the people have a right to know, regardless of the consequences. But it's not out of the realm to consider that maybe it really would have dire consequences. Also, you know, and it's a matter of context. I mean, Coast to Coast can talk about it every single night, and we do. And we have a wide influence and a wide range of listeners. But unless it's a dramatic event, unless it's a statement from the president, unless it's on the CBS evening news or NBC or whatever, somebody acknowledging it's real, some unimpeachable kind of event that happens that no one can dismiss, it's hard to take it seriously for the majority of people who are worried about paying their bills and raising their kids and just want people to leave them alone.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. You know, Richard Nixon famously said in the 70s, the American people won't believe anything until they see it on television.
Yeah.
So, yeah, is that what it's going to take? But as we were saying in the previous segment, there's a great shift going on right now, and people aren't, the younger generation is turning away from the old media.
Well, I want to ask you
the newspaper business.
I want to ask you about, give us a word of optimism when we come back. Then we'll be opening up the phone lines. We'll be back with more of Brad Olson and Future Esoteric after this. Things are bad, but there is at least a glimmer of light at the end of the tunnel. When we come back, I'll put that question to Brad Olson, how he might see an optimistic vision of our future. And then we open up the phone lines with as many of your questions as we can get to. Much more to come on Coast to Coast. Brad Olson, I think if you read only the first three quarters of your book, you might want to go home and just eat a bottle of sleeping tablets or something. But there is at least a glimmer of light at the end of the tunnel. Why don't you give us a summary of how you see a good ending to this? I guess one of the emphases that you make is on humans developing abilities that are beyond the power of the government to control.
Superhuman abilities chapter.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exciting possibilities. Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, this is pretty dark and sometimes disturbing material. And since we are projecting into the future, in fact, Future Esoteric is the second book in a series. The first book is going to come out in 9 months. It's called Modern Esoteric Beyond Our Senses. And it concerns itself more with earthly type of concerns, and it's everything looking back up to this modern age, whereas Future Esoteric is projecting forward. And projecting forward at the end of the book is the Utopia section. And these are chapters which can propel the human race into the prophesized golden age. There are things like superhuman abilities, starting to attune ourselves to the abilities of such things as telekinesis and telepathy, and using examples from history of what people can do and what we all potentially have the capacity to do. I read the book Autobiography of a Yogi when I was traveling through India in the early 90s, and it absolutely blew me away. It's like opening all these possibilities to what the power of the mind can do. And I think that's my final message here, is that the last chapter before the conclusion is called Endgame Love. And it's all about us. It's all about us being the best human beings we can possibly be. And this is very difficult for people to stay positive in these times of uncertainty and a lot of fear that's going around us. But I'm here to say that you can be positive, and I'm positive every single day. I'm a very happy person. And we just got to work through this. And by being a good person, I mean doing nice things for people. Random acts of kindness really do make a difference. And it's because that our thoughts make all the difference. If you're going to wake up in the morning and you're going to be in a bad mood, it's going to affect your entire day, and you're not going to do very good things if you're in a bad mood. If you're in a good mood, conversely, who knows? Maybe just smiling at someone on the street could put that person in a good mood, could lead them to do something that has this chain reaction effect. And these type of things are tangible. Our thoughts are tangible, and they can make a very big difference. So, in the end of the book, I have examples such as Dr. Imato in Japan did these studies with water molecules, and there were hateful, spiteful thoughts, and the molecules were all chaotic and ugly looking. And then people meditated and thought beautiful thoughts and compassionate thoughts, and the molecules were beautiful. And I realize this is still a very controversial study, but if you look at it, and I have examples and a photo in here too of these water molecules, you think, our body is over 80% water, and our pineal glands operate in our brain like our third eye. It's even wired similar to an eyeball, and it is surrounded by fluids. And it's tied into our DNA. There are certain things that we can do to become superhuman. And then just by being a good person and doing good things in the world, of course, good things will happen to you in return. I do believe that the laws of karma are a true cosmic universal law. But not only is it doing the right thing, but it can affect change in the world. So it's really going to depend on each and every one of us. And I think the Coast to Coast listeners are a perfect demographic example of the kind of people that could really resonate with this kind of message. And hopefully that they can tell their families and friends to do the same.
Well, it looks like it's resonating now because the phone lines are full. We're going to go east of the Rockies and start with George in Neptune, New Jersey. Hi, George. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi.
Brad, I'm quite interested in many of the things you've said about the Federal Reserve tonight. There's something that anyone who in the past has spoken about the Federal Reserve never mentions. This is the Class A stockholders of the Federal Reserve pay no taxes on the interest they collect from us taxpayers, which is tens of billions of dollars per month. They also are protected by congressional law so that the A stock is handed down generation to generation with no inheritance taxes or any taxes whatsoever. I call this generational RICO racketeering. These are the same people, the same families that have made fortunes in the slave trade, the opium trade. They financed Hitler, Mussolini, financed the Bolsheviks. They financed the Hessian troops that came to this country and fought seven of my great-grandfathers who fought in the American Revolution. Okay? They killed Garfield, McKinley, Lincoln, JFK, shot George Wallace, killed RFK, killed MLK, invented the Gulf of Tonkin incident, all for what? For themselves. For themselves.
Brad, do you have any comment on this aspect of the Federal Reserve? I hadn't heard this about these guys making this much money without paying anything.
Well, it's a total pyramid scheme. It's a total racket. I mean, how they got in this position, from Jekyll Island to today, it's just one crime after another. But since they own large portion of the mainstream media, you're not going to hear about their crimes on Nightly Business Report. You're not going to know what this gentleman just said. Because it is esoteric. I mean, this financial type of reporting is very much in the study of esoteric. And you know, that now there's this lawsuit, the end of financial tyranny that David Wilcock is speaking of and writing a little mini book online, and Ben Fulford, so forth. I mean, they're bringing it out. They're starting to expose this for what it is. And it is one giant pyramid scheme racket. And I say we pull the carpet out from underneath these guys.
Appreciate the call, George. I'll tell you what, I'm going to look into this. The idea that this Federal Reserve bill is coming up, that the law expires this year, because if that's true, maybe we can do is a show and stir it up a little bit. West of the Rockies, Stephen in Palos Verdes, California. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, both of you. A couple of things. Number one is that the gentleman that's on the air, Brad, look into an organization called the Committee at Residence in Washington that is premier secret organization that controls everything. Number two, it's been stated that the United States actually has a base on the moon. This organization can give you that information. Number three is that Satan is a reptilian and part of the Draco organization. But for both of you, are you aware that the 149 air traffic controller towers that are now being closed or will be closed on April the 8th, if you go to Father Wingate's website, who's been on Coast to Coast, and he said that the Archangel told him that the United States was about to be invaded and that the invasion was going to come from the United Nation Forces and NATO, if you go to his website and print the invasion map and put that map over the map with the 149 air traffic controller towers that are being closed, you will see that those airstrips will be used by NATO and United Nations to bring troops in the United States. And I tell the American people in those areas where these air traffic controller towers are being closed, you protect yourselves, you get your guns, because this country is about to be invaded. Look into that, because what I tell you is true.
Okay, I appreciate the call. First of all, Brad, are you familiar with the committee he's talking about?
This is a new one. I want to look into it myself. Thank you for the tip.
I did read that these air traffic control towers are closing because of the sequestration stuff. I don't know about the invasion that's coming, but Those towers are definitely closing down.
I don't know about that either, but I do have a whole chapter on structures on other planets. So I would agree with the caller on the other two points, which is the base on Moon, possibly a base on Mars. And I think Satan and Lucifer are the reptilian ETs that have been manipulating humankind for centuries.
Sounds like we could do a whole show on that. First-time caller Paul in Mission Viejo, California. Hi, Paul. Welcome to the show.
How's it going? Good morning.
Good morning.
I just kind of wanted to take, and I guess, a little bit of a different angle is the fact that I agree with what your guest Brad's saying and everything, and I completely understand, and I'm on page with you guys. I'm an avid Coast listener, but in the Bible, it speaks in Revelation about that there's going to be a one-world currency and there will be no money. So, you know, even though it was what will be the destruction and downfall of the Rockefellers and Bilderberger Group and all that, it will also kind of usher us in, which a lot of people think is going towards the end times at the same time. So it might be a solve directly for this kind of situation, but it might usher in end times or revelation, in my opinion.
Brad, any thoughts?
Well, we're meant to start hearing the rollout of the RFID chips implanted in people. And incidentally, tomorrow is the date that the Golden Gate Bridge here in San Francisco goes no toll collectors anymore. It's all going to be the fast track pass, or they're going to bill you via the mail. So that kind of smacks of that happening.
I'm deeply bothered by the whole surveillance state, the lack of privacy, where all that's heading. It seems like everywhere has cameras. They track you wherever you go. People watching everything you write on the internet and monitoring all your phone calls. That's bothersome to me. Skype. We got Dan in the UK joining us. Dan, how you doing?
Hello, George. Hello, Brad. I'm thoroughly enjoying the show, and Brad, I thoroughly commend you on everything you're saying and talking about, and the truth you're speaking is really resonating this end.
Thank you very much.
Hopefully you'll be a bit flexible with me on time here, George, because
we're not going to be flexible. We can't be flexible on time. We have about 4 minutes left, so you're going to have to get to it.
There's a film. You remember the film called A Beautiful Mind a while ago?
Yes.
It kind of planted some seeds in me, and that is to be a good observer, and I've been doing that ever since. And I just wanted to share some thoughts on a kind of possible solution on what I see with you, Brad, and George, and see what you think, and the listeners, of course, and see what you think, if that's okay.
Well, yeah, again, you're going to have to do it pretty quickly, Dan, because we're running out of time.
Oh, gosh, okay. Well, firstly, I think the decisions being made at local and national level are no longer being made with human evolution in mind and the inspirations of the people, and that the paradigms in place are basically all, you know, they emphasize the profit motive, and I don't see the profit motives as giving any consideration to human values at all, or earthly resources, and that's part of the problem that I see has emerged. So part of the solution that I see is to re-empower the people to be part of the decision-making process. And literally, I think we have the technology to bring about a true democracy or technocracy using technology to allow people to be part of the decision-making process. And I think the bottom line is that so-called politicians should no longer be decision-makers, but rather facilitators and coordinators.
Dan, I'll tell you what, let's let Brad take that one on here and see what he has to say. The idea of a direct democracy, global democracy, what do you think?
I love the idea, and I think that's part of our utopian model. Really, governments will not have much power anymore. We're not going to need them. We can make all our decisions, like the caller just said, via the internet, and we're going to want to vote. We're going to want to vote for the issues that affect our lives locally, nationally, and internationally around the world. So, yeah, I look forward to the day.
Try to get one more call in. Thanks, Dan, by the way, for calling from across the pond. Wildcard line, Donato in New Jersey. Hi, Donato. Better make it a quick one.
Sure. Thanks for taking my call. You know, just you mentioned frustration with the facades that are placed out there by media. And basically, World War II, where you have tens of millions of people killed, it's the exact same thing, Nazism and Bolshevism, just two different faces. And that's a prime example where the ultimate end goal, Brad, is global Zionism, which is the reestablishment of the state of Israel in order to perpetuate this one world government. And it's really the age-old battle of Satan versus Jesus Christ. That's what it comes down to at the end of the day.
Well, I mean, Brad, that's the ultimate battle, isn't it, that goes on in all of us, good versus evil, trying to control our at least encourage our better nature.
Well, it sure is, and that's why I ended my talk about being the best person we can be and to try to be positive through these times, these very trying times of negativity all around us. And as far as Zionism, I think this is a pretty big egg that's going to crack pretty soon, and there's a lot of things that are coming out of that aren't too enjoyable.
Brad Olson has been my guest. The book is called Future Esoteric, The Unseen Realms. And you told me this is the second book but in a series, but it actually came out before the first book.
Yeah, just because I had all the material ready to go on this one. And the first one spawned out of that. And it's going to be a really nice book. And I look forward to hopefully being on your show and talking about that.
I hope you will. What's the reaction been to this one so far?
So far, fantastic. Getting great reviews, getting a lot of feedback from people. We're starting a new website called esotericseries.com, and I'm going to have a blog on there and open it up to comments. So, you know, this is an open forum to me. This is something I want to share with people, and I want their feedback. And I have a Facebook page called Esoteric Book Series on Facebook, and I love to hear what people have to say and to debate these things. You know, I'm putting it out there. I'm being a messenger here and trying to deliver a coherent message, and I really value feedback from people, including the calls tonight. So I thank all your callers for making an effort and calling in so late.
Well, I should say that the lines are still full. We could probably go another couple of hours, but we are
hey,
unfortunately.
Let's do it. I'll make some coffee.
that's unfortunately not possible. Brad Olson, I really appreciate it, and good luck with the book, Future Esoteric. Thanks also to my earlier guest, Sean Stone, and my appreciation to Nathan and Gina and Dan Galante, and also webmaster Tim Binal there at Premiere. I will be here next Sunday night, Easter Sunday, with two special guests, a potential whopper of a program, Bob Bigelow, a space pioneer, says he will be here, and I think he's got some big news. And then a friend of the program, Dr. Roger Lear, to talk about a UFO case, so something he witnessed that is going to reportedly knock our socks off. Good night, everyone.